The name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Back to your program, Treasures. In the Gospel of St. John, we will start chapter 6. I want to revise what we had said in the last five chapters. In the first chapter, Logos, the Son of God, revealed himself and he came to become a man for the salvation of everyone. And the disciples started to say, come and see, because God now could be seen. In the second chapter, he made his first miracle in the Galilee Pass with the wedding in Cana Galilee, with the presence of his mother, with the intercession of Saint Mary, and people started to believe that this is the Messiah, the Son of God, coming to save us. In the third chapter, he was visited by Nicodemus, one of the rulers of the Jew people, and he started to reveal the secret of his divine nature and also the secrets of the New Testament, how to be born again, to be the Son of God, to be the children of God. And in this fourth chapter, he visited the Samaritan woman, and he offered her the living water. He started to show his divine nature, and she believed in him, the Messiah coming to people, and she went to preach his name to the Samaritan people. They came to see him, and they believed him as the prophet coming to human beings. On the fifth chapter, he made the miracle of the paralyzed man, the one who was paralyzed for 38 years. And after this miracle, because it happened on the Sabbath day, he had a long dialogue with the Jew people. And in this, he revealed his divine nature, saying, I'm equal with God the Father. And he made it very clear that all parties are testifying to his nature as God, God the Father, the Son, the prophets, John the Baptist, the deed, the miracle, and Moses, and the scriptures, they all witnessed to his nature, but the Jew people did not want to believe in him. Chapter 6. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee. So he went back to Galilee, because that's where he used to stay, in Capernaum, in the villages of the poor people of Galilee. But he went only to Jerusalem in the times of the festivals, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him, because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. Because of the many miracles happened, many people loved to follow him. Maybe they wanted more miracles. Some of them loved him so much. Some were hungry for the teaching, but many people followed him. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. When you visit Jerusalem and Galilee part, you will see that the Sea of Tiberias is just beside a mountain, a nice mountain. So he went up and the people followed him and he stayed there. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. So it happened near the Passover. It was not the time of the Pascha or the Passover yet. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread? Look to this. Because, you know, the events related to the Passover was full of meaning. The meaning of redemption with the blood, the meaning of also the gift of manna, their forefather, the early fathers of the Jew, those who followed Moses, they took the bread coming from heaven. So it was a miracle on daily basis for 40 years. And that was very much honored by the Jew people. They considered this 40 years miracle is the most important event in their life, because they lived on the bread of heaven, the bread of the angels, they made it in the psalm. So Christ wanted to put this with the sacrament of Eucharist. So that's the start of his talk about the gift of the holy bread of life, himself, his flesh and blood will be the gift of heaven for anyone to live forever. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" When the Lord Jesus Christ asked any question, this does not mean that he does not know the answer. Definitely, he knows everything. But he is trying to challenge them, to let them think in a way full of faith, full of hope. But actually they failed because they thought in their usual way of numbers and counts and these things. So he said, "Where shall we buy bread and that this may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. So then John the Evangelist saying, definitely Christ knew what he is going to do, but he tested him because the challenge was not easy. Thousands of people are hungry and there was no place to buy food. And even if there is any place to buy food, they don't have enough money to cover the needs of thousands of people. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. So this Philip, I think like many of us, just, you know, his mind is full of numbers. He counted very simply, saying 200 denarii, it will not cover the needs, are not enough. And 200 denarii was a big, big sum of money, because at that time the wage of the worker is 1 denarii per day. So 200 denarii for these poor people is really a good number of money. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" So he got 2 answers, and both answers were not sufficient, because the first answer about the number. So numbers are not always the good answer to God, because God is always over the numbers. He is God of the impossible. So when you count things, wait a minute, counting things is not, you know, the perfect way to deal with God. The second answer, although Andrew mentioned the lad who had the 5 loaves and the 2 small fish, that was a good start, but he made it this way: "What are they among so many?" So again, he thought in a very literal way, in a very physical way, that this can never cover the needs of like 1 or 2 families. So we have thousands of families. So in this test, they failed, because although they had seen many miracles, but they couldn't imagine that there should be a miracle related to the food. They had miracles of sicknesses. They had seen a miracle in the wedding of Cana of Galilee. But to have food from heaven, that was not expected. Although they were the offspring of the Jew people who enjoyed the bread of heaven for 40 years. Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down, in number about 5,000. You know, knowing the number of people is very reasonable now, because while sitting the people, while helping people to sit in groups, they could count people. But you know, imagine helping people to sit in groups on a mountain and the number came 5,000 families. How much time it took them? I don't think it's less than like 2 hours in order to put them in groups on the mountains with the children, with the poor people. You know, it's not an easy job. And again, why they ordered them to sit down? It's like time to go. It's now the afternoon, and they have to run away to catch their homes before sunset. And they need to eat, there were no food. So why they obeyed them, nobody can tell. There was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. So as if Christ was trying to teach his disciples, don't worry, make sure that everything is there, possible things, everything could be possible within the hands of Christ, but just go and put them in groups. So Christ is teaching them how to make things in order and not to worry about any materialistic things. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, remember this word, he distributed them to the disciples and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish as much as they wanted. So it happened that the disciples came to Jesus saying, now people are sitting in groups, they are waiting for anything to happen. What will happen? Nobody can say. Christ blessed the loaves, gave thanks to God. So he's teaching his disciples how to make the miracle. And this miracle is very unexpected one, because, you know, nobody could ask for this miracle. They asked that it's better for them to go home, better you push them to run away. But actually Christ was about to teach them about the great sacrament of Eucharist. So he started by this example of making this miracle in order to let them believe that the transformation could happen. And with the giving thanks, with the blessing of God, with the power of God, when Christ will say, this is my body, now we should say amen. Because that's a real transformation, the real mysterious change happening because of the Holy Spirit, of the power of God. So he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish as much as they wanted. So Christ did not, you know, distribute things with his hands because of the great number of the multitude, and also because he wanted to teach his disciples to deal respectfully with the people, to cover the needs of the people, because they will be the heads of priesthood in the New Testament, so they have to face the congregations and cover their needs, not only by the physical needs, but, you know, also the spiritual needs later on. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. So when the people ate, they enjoyed the food, and then they walked home. But they left the mountain full of the fragments. So Christ, again, unexpectedly, he ordered his disciples to go and gather all the fragments from the mountain. That's another lesson. Because, you know, the gifts of God should be respected, and the miracles should be remembered, and we should always keep the memories of these gifts. So he let them gather the fragments in order to enjoy the miracle and see it by their eyes. How could this, all these fragments came out of like 5 loaves and 2 fish? Therefore, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. And again, they were 12 baskets for each, and every one of the disciples should carry one basket, and this basket will speak out loudly, there was a great miracle happened that day, and even the five loaves can never fill one basket. So keeping the fragments and going with the fragments, the baskets to the boat, they feel like the extension of the miracle. Now they feel the miracle by their hands. They gave people things by their hands. They counted the loaves, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now they counted thousands. So they enjoyed sharing the Lord, the power of the miracle. They enjoyed working with Him. Then they enjoyed seeing the joy of the faces of the people after eating this bread. And also they were very much happy, respected by everyone because of the miracle. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." Again, I'm reminding you, when saying the prophet, it's not like any prophet. It's the prophet who Moses spoke about. He is not like any prophet. He is not only a man. He is not only a prophet. He is the Logos incarnate. So He is the core of all the scriptures. He is the one to come. He is the coming Lord for the salvation of everyone. So people could see His nature that day. Because of this great miracle, they said that this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. Because the prophet was very common name for the Messiah, for the coming Lord, for the Savior to come. So people exchanged the good news that the prophet came, the Messiah came. Now we had seen Him, not only because He healed the lame and He made many miracles, but because He gave us food miraculously. He can cover all the needs of human nature. Glory to God. Amen.